Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's William Tincup, and you're listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today, we have Briani on from Thriversity, and we'll be talking about the use case or the business case prospects and customers use to purchase Thriversity. So why don't we do some introductions. Briani, first of all, pronounce your name. Let's make sure I've got that correct.
Briani, yes.
Yeah, that's why when I said Briani, I'm like, that's not correct. I was thinking of LeBron's son. That was on my mind. Sorry about that. I don't know why his son was on my mind. We'll put that off to the side. We'll discuss that later. Anyhow, do us a favor, Briani, and introduce both yourself and Thriversity.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm Briani Rooney. I have been an entrepreneur for 14 plus years, a little over 14 years, all in recruiting. I had a company called Techies, which was an agency, and it was actually sold almost a year ago today to a firm, the fintech company. So I kind of mourned them this last year. And then I started Talent Perch and Thriversity. Okay. Talent Perch is essentially like an RPO model for recruiters.
Right.
I live all in sexy tech. So that's my baby. And then I have been a huge advocate for learning and development, just training in general. So I started my YouTube channel, The Millionaire Recruiter, back in 2018. And that actually picked up, and it was just really kind of like my passion project because I've always been really big in training recruiters. And as you know, probably better than anyone, that there's no standards. No. Like anyone can get into recruiting.
Good. But also the chaos of that is a lot of people start in staffing and then they basically hang out a shingle or they go corporate, they go internal. And again, like you said, there's no standards and it's the Wild West and there's no great training that kind of like, okay, here's how to build a desk or here's how to whatever the bit is. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love that you said Wild West because that's actually in some of my biz dev emails. I'm like, hey, it's the Wild West right now. It's fourth quarter. You ready to go? Yeah. You need help?
Seriously. So Thriversity is more, it's connective tissue between the training content for recruiters. And I would assume that some of that is full cycle, meaning sourcing all the way through the hiring process.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a big advocate in full cycle recruiting. I know the trend right now is they're starting to silo those roles, sourcers versus recruiters.
Right.
I don't understand that personally. No, I would change that. I don't get it. It's also, it takes away like the fun and I get why it started because, you know, you want to have the tender love and care all the way to the offer. You want your best people closing, like all that stuff, but then you never give the opportunities to the ones that actually started it. It's like, let them finish.
Right. And I think some of it's also probably technology drove some of those changes because of sourcing technology in particular. They were really aggressive for folks that just wanted to find talent. Like it's a puzzle piece. Like I just want to find talent. I don't want to talk to them. And so, which again, there's a utility for that, but it's also like, if you're going to carry forward that conversation, finding them is becoming easier. It's not always that way, but it's becoming easier because of tech. And so that's almost like, okay, you're going to be automated out of those positions in the future, not now, but at one point finding talent is not going to be the problem. It's going to be talking to talent, selling and engaging, communicating, et cetera. Anyhow, I got in the way of what you were talking about.
Yeah, no. This is all good because this is why Thriversity exists. So like you just kind of, you know, alley-ooped it for me. But so I saw that The Millionaire Recruiter was having a bigger following and people like, oh my God, there's no training anywhere. And I was like, all right, it's time. So I wanted to build a real learning management system, the one that takes people from the beginning to the end, encompasses all the close. We specialize in teaching tech recruiters specifically, but we do also teach non-tech recruiters, which actually we have renamed. I'm wondering if you like this name. We have named them Renaissance recruiters because I think they need a cool name. Yeah.
That's nice. Well, the last two people that were great at multiple things were Leonardo and Michelangelo. That's so the Renaissance makes sense on a certain level, because since then there hasn't been a human being on the planet that's been great at multiple things. So
that is true.
Renaissance makes sense. Let's go back to it's actually the Italian Renaissance. There was a French Renaissance that was different. But anyhow, I love the name actually, because they need to be great at multiple things.
Exactly. And what was interesting, and so when I started, well, let's take back a little bit. When I started Talent Purge, I brought in Taylor Bradley, who now I host the Talent Takeover Unfiltered podcast with. But I brought her in because she was like an RPO specialist. She won RPO Woman of the Year, stuff like that. And I was like, cool, that's what I want to build out. And she's a Renaissance recruiter. And so what was really interesting is bringing, you know, I'm used to tech and she's Renaissance, and we just live in two different worlds. And we didn't realize, or I didn't realize how different those worlds really were. Right. And until we started colliding, and I was like, oh my God, she was used to doing things a certain way. I'm used to doing certain things a certain way. And it was like, you know, these two titans are like, okay, how do we live together? Like what's going on?
And again, no standards. And if people came up through the corporate world, came over from HR, came dropped somehow into recruiting, and then you drop them in a staffing environment, it's literally a fish out of water. And same thing, you pluck somebody out of AMS and you drop them in, you know, a John Deere or some type of corporate environment, and it's shock and awe.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so I think we both had like shock. It's exactly what it was. And so when we were building Viversity, what we wanted to focus on, it was not only, you know, building up tech recruiters and agency recruiters, because again, very different. Internal versus external is like a completely different world. So again, I'm used to moving at a certain pace, and she's used to moving at a certain pace. And but they also, Renaissance, I think, holds bigger recs, or holds more recs, I should say, than tech recruiters. So,
good. No. And so the content, it's do you build the LMS, or are you using another LMS to put your content into it?
We're using an LMS to do to build its own thing, right?
No, and I would advise you never to go down that path, because just there's some great water level products that are out there but you're putting content in short form, long form, like what's obviously it's video or audio. Yeah. So what's have you built curricula and you're taking people through the process and it's, so I'm assuming it's a kind of a sign up as a SaaS model.
Yeah. So we have a couple of different things, actually. We started to do some live facilitation because I just love it, you know? But what we realized was people don't want live facilitation. They like it when they can do it, but they all have jobs. They all got other things to do. They want like their own self-pace. So we have the videos, we have the handouts, the downloads, all of those things. And then what we decided, you know what people really need is they need some coaching. And they need it at their own pace, and they need it throughout like the year. So I don't know about you, but I think a good recruiter can pick something up, or I should say a good trainer can teach within 6 weeks. And then they're like, okay, I think I know how to do this. And then I think 3 months, they're like, okay, I'm getting a little bit better. Then it's 6 months and a year. I think that's kind of how like the aha moments in recruiting goes. Right. So we're offering those, you know, 30-minute sessions with them. They have six, they have a whole year to use it. And we tell them like, hey, let's do like a couple of role plays. You know, you definitely need to know how to do a phone screen. You need to know how to close someone. You need to know how to talk to a hiring manager. So we definitely recommend like those role plays with us, and then kind of say, hey, why don't you just take your three when you need us? Like when you're having a hard search or stuff like that. Yeah.
So you're on demand, and that's just a part of the subscription.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have a couple different levels.
And the facilitated, obviously that's bespoke. I would assume that facilitated, if they want that, they can buy that for their company and multiple people, one to many, et cetera, or is that one to one?
Absolutely. So what we're starting to get asked for now, and boy, do I love live facilitation, especially if it's not remote. I love going to the office, but we're getting asked for how to train on inclusive sourcing and hiring manager training. Yes. Which I am super excited about, because of course it's always the recruiter's fault. It's never the hiring manager's fault.
Right. So what in there is kind of help, or is there anything, not to be assumptive, is there anything in there related to process or tech for the?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we take them through the whole process. So like there's, I deem six cycles to be a full cycle recruiter. So obviously we talk like the top of the funnel. We talk how you actually build what I call a sourcing map first and foremost, where you're just finding common denominators. You're looking at a team. So for example, you're talking to a hiring manager and they're like, yeah, of course we want A players. You know, we want top schools. We want all these things. And then you do a sourcing map on your team and you realize, well, on paper, they're kind of like a B minus. So right. We got to talk through that. Like, how are we going to do that? Or when they say, hey, you know, we have really, we're looking for a certain diversity numbers this year. And, you know, okay, well, let's take a look at your team. Like, it's like a whole system. So we walk them through that process. We walk them through the process of how you even present a candidate. Like, how's that phone call go? What are your notes about them? How you have to advocate for them, but you also have to be really realistic so you don't losing, you know, that clout with the hiring manager.
Right.
And then we walk them through the whole process of, you know, taking them through the interview, talking to them at every given moment, asking, you know, essentially the same questions a lot throughout the process, because as you know, things change. And then all the way to close. And because I'm a tech recruiter, I'm very used to speaking VC and equity and yes. stuff like that. So that's something that I get really excited about. And I have that in my course, not only to teach them what it even means on a few different facets, but also we give them a little mini project and have them research, you know, some VCs on the Midas list. Cause it's like, hey, you guys need to know where and why, right?
Right, right, right. Yeah. You can't, shouldn't be blindsided by any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So let me get your take on three things and as the way that you teach this, or just your take in general as well. Job descriptions, intake meetings, and kind of objection response.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We teach all of that. Descriptions.
Yep.
I love talking through job descriptions because as you know, they're either a big wish list or they grabbed them from some other company and they strapped their logo.
Yeah. All of our hands are bloody here. Yeah. So I'd love to actually do the archaeology of one job description and how many times it's been stolen from other places.
Love it.
Right? Because everyone's hands are bloody. There isn't anybody that's recruited that's their hands aren't bloody. Okay, we've all gone into Career Builder, Monster, Indeed, or Zip, or whatever, cut copy, made some changes, posted again, etc. What's the best way, and this is probably leading into the intake, what's the best way for a recruiter to make sure that they whittle down the wish list to the most salient kind of critical things that the hiring manager needs?
Yeah. So what I have them do, I'm a little old school with my highlighter, but of course you can highlight on the computer, right? But I tell them to highlight what they deem important. When they're reading the job description, what do they think are the non-negotiables? And what do, as a recruiter, do they think,
nice.
we could probably, you know, budge with that one.
Non-negotiables is the language that you use. That's great. I love that actually.
Oh, just thank you.
That's good language because again, it's that there's no coming back from that. That's a non-starter, non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. If I know that, then I can navigate around that. Okay.
Exactly.
I interrupted you.
No worries. It's just a conversation. We got all good stuff. So we're going to then take that, what we said it highlighted, and we're going to bring it to the hiring manager during the intake. And we're going to talk through all of that. And then we're going to talk through, like, you know, again, what could we budge on? What could we wiggle with and why, and what are the parameters? And then from that, I teach them how to essentially say, okay, great. I'm going to give you five profiles. And in those profiles, I'm going to sneak two in. So I'm going to give them what they want in the three, like exactly. And then I'm going to sneak two in that like, I feel like based on their team, this could probably be a fit. And then let's see what the hiring manager says.
Right.
And then we talk through it again.
So what about different scenarios in terms of like, okay, is this a new hire? We've never hired for it. Okay, so there's that. Backfill, you know all the different scenarios, but like a backfill, okay, we had seven of these or it's additive. Okay, we have 12 of these. We need two more. Okay, got that. Or it's someone that we need to hire that we've never hired before and we don't even know where to start. Like, and then that's just four random scenarios. Yeah. Of course, you've got 100 more, but like, how do you teach scenarios? Like, okay, what is the, oh, this is a backfill. Okay, so what is that? What makes that different, or what's similar in that scenario that recruiters can use in terms of getting started?
Yeah, for me, actually, all those scenarios are kind of the same. I guess there's just a couple of different questions I would ask. So like for a backfill, for example, I'd be like, great, what can we tell them? Like where'd the person go and why?
Right.
You know, like we have, you know, can we tell them, you know, like, how are we going to navigate that?
Yeah.
So I think that one is a little tricky, especially when it's a secret search.
Yes.
That's definitely its own separate thing. And that's where it's like, look, companies, recruiters are your brand ambassadors. They're also your biggest tool to like get this going. And like, we're able to do secret searches, you know, like, can you imagine like telling like someone else, like, hey, product manager, can you build a product? Like no one knows about, we're signing NDAs, we're doing all that stuff, but we don't need all of that red tape, like as recruiters. So yeah, I guess to answer your question, we definitely do role play different scenarios, but right. I don't think starting a brand new search would be one of them. We right. try to talk like, hey, why don't you ask them, how long has this been, how long does it take to get filled? How many people do they think is a healthy funnel or healthy pipe, I should say.
Right.
And so we definitely ask those questions, but again, a lot of companies don't have data. And when they do have data, it's not even accurate. So I tend to not go there.
So what with, so is there any interest in training around recruitment marketing or employer branding?
Oh, so yes.
you just, there we go. That was awesome. Oh, pause. Okay. All right. The water hose is about to come on. Got it. All right. Here we go.
I know, I'm feeling like I'm on my soapbox. You ready?
No, you're good. You're good. That's why we're here.
So I just think companies get this wrong a lot. And again, I talk about us being brand ambassadors and they just don't treat us like
right,
it. As we know, like our industry, it's not great when you Google recruiters are. And so, yeah, we need to be trained in all of that, but we have not developed a course in that specifically, because I definitely want to go internal on that and like really have the TA team understand why the recruiters need to know the ins and outs, the why behind the product, the why behind hires, all of those things. We definitely have that a little bit in the hiring manager intake. And then like, we definitely, we train. So we do like mock interviews with recruiters. And we definitely train them to ask those certain questions on like, you know, hey, how well do you prepare us? I do have a template on what I call a pitch for clients. And there's like all those nitty gritties in there, like all the good articles, all the up and coming press, like all of that stuff. We ask those questions. But I really think that it's the responsibility of the company to understand, wow, like we are literally, by us sending messages, outreach messages, that is marketing. So you guys should pay attention to what is actually being sent out and what our LinkedIns look like. You know, it's like, I think it's such a tragedy that they don't go further with recruiters.
So tech talent today, what do the questions that they're asking? We'll just kind of flip this on the side. Ooh. What's important to them today?
We're still in the remote land.
Yep.
So they just want to know, hey, am I getting paid? Like, so I'm used to doing the Bay Area. So it's like, am I getting paid Bay Area money or am I getting paid, you know, Alabama money if I live
right.
in Alabama?
Right.
That's a biggie. And because I feel a certain way, it's kind of like, okay, that's a little hard for me. But again, it's up to the clients, right? Like it's up to their companies. And
right.
get that, that's a little challenging. But
so remote first, is the job first. Remote? Check. Now, then next question. Is the pay commensurate to the skills, not necessarily the location?
Exactly.
Got
That's
it.
A biggie.
Okay.
Definitely ask their rest diversity numbers.
Right.
Do we know what the team is? Stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Depending. Yeah.
Wow. And we haven't even gotten into the product or the languages or the whatever.
This is
you're being screened in and screened out at this level from their perspective.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty big. That's again why recruiters have to know a lot.
Yes.
Because then they're not even going to the next round.
Right.
Like that's what's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they do definitely say like, hey, what's their tech stack? Do I have to code in it? And then additionally in the interview, can I code in whatever I want? Which is important.
Do they want to know about what the organization is going to teach them or what they're going to learn, or is that just they're self-learners and they're going to learn elsewhere?
It depends on the role.
Got it.
So I would say as far as tech, like software engineering, they don't care too terribly much because I think that they're used to being like, they have a big learning stipend for the most part, you know, they get the equity, like they're better. Now on the Renaissance side though, they are definitely want to know all of the learning and development that they have internally, which I think is great because now as we see, like people just like tripped into recruiting. Now people are making conscious efforts into going into recruiting. So therefore they're caring a little bit more about training.
So what's your favorite interview question for tech talent? I'm fascinated by this, by the way, because it's not necessarily a knockout question. So every position is a little bit different. Also every client's got, you know, a different bit, but you've got one in the back of your pocket. I know you've been doing this too long. You've got a favorite go-to.
Well, yeah, but when you ask that, of course, I'm thinking my favorite one for recruiters, but which is obviously different than engineers. But
well, let's do both. Let's do both. Yes, we'll bifurcate. Yes, let's do both. Okay, what's your favorite? Which ones for tech talent? Which ones for recruiters?
So tech talent, I definitely like to ask them what is their favorite project that they worked on and what did they do on the project? I need to see how they communicate and I need to see if they're proud of their work and if they're passionate.
Right. So what you're gauging there is kind of the breadth and depth of their experience at a project, because I might have worked on this project, but I might have, it was a spoke or versus the wheel. And then the other is passion. Mm-hmm. So the more they talk about it, they geek out. If they start geeking out about this, whatever was built, then you can say, okay, they've got passion. Okay. Well, we can transfer that passion because you can't teach passion.
No. Exactly. And when I work with startups, it's like, that's what it's about. Like a lot of times it's not even about their tech skills. Like, you know, for the most part, they can do the job and you can also train, right? But it's the passion and it's the desire to like build.
And so that's important. And for recruiters. So you're going to, this is going to be fun now. So
why is a manhole round?
Oh, that's an MBA question. That's interesting.
Really? That's an
MBA question. Actually, I had to study that question because McKinsey used to ask that question back in the
90s. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And I actually know the answer, but that's fine. But that is a good question. First of all, it gets them to think, which is really one of the things that you're probably trying to gauge is, okay, what's your ability, not just the answer, but what's your ability to then answer. And even if you don't know the answer, what's your ability to process the question?
Exactly. It's not even like, I could care less if they know the answer. Exactly right. I just want, like, they're normally like scared out of their mind. They like the look on their face. They're like, you know, but it's like to be a recruiter, you got to like just constantly be on your toes. You know? Yeah. So it's like, I want to see how you answer it.
Yeah. Comfort zone. There is no such thing. You're always going to be in a state of ambiguity with clients, with candidates, with hiring managers, with everybody in the mix. You're always going to be kind of, which is great if you know that, if you're comfortable there.
Yeah. It's always fake it till you make it.
this has been, Brownie, you're amazing. So thank you for the time and wisdom, and good luck with both, you know, both of the work you're doing with Talent Perch and Triversity. Just good luck with both ventures.
Thank you so much, William. This has been fantastic.
Absolutely.
Went by so fast.
That's how it happens. So, and thanks everyone listening to the Recruiting Daily Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.